welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for your anointing. Come on, if you've got a mum near you, say Happy Mother's Day again. Give them a kiss. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is to love one another. And so as we celebrate Mother's Day today, I want to talk about love and how wonderful is a mother's love? Mostly. It's a wonderful love. And I just want to say to the mothers of this church, I'm so proud of you. You are amazing. I watch you and I've seen your children, some of them grow up. And you are amazing. You are doing such a wonderful job. I celebrate you all. I know that it's hard work, but I'm excited for you. I see some of you in the thick of it. Exciting, Janelle looking after those busy boys of hers, keeps her busy. Jade Kayser with her six bevy of girls. Well done, girl. I'm proud of you for having six. Good on you. And Sarah's got four girls. We've got quite a lot of girl families here, don't we? Driving them everywhere, loving them. Busy, busy, busy. And then, of course, Nikki Ashby with her perfect rose. Yes, and Iris and Ted too. Yeah, just two. Yep. Well done to all of you. You just do a great job and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the grandmothers babysitting. Tanya Cherkov, she's the ultimate grandmother. She's always giving all of the children good treats. I couldn't ever figure out, why do they all flock around her? Why do they love her so much? And then I discovered the secret. It works. It's very exciting. And Rashita, you do such an amazing job with Special Jedediah. It keeps you busy. You're all wonderful. You really are. We're so blessed to have children. They are amazing and they are hard work, but we love them and they're very special. They give us lots of sweet moments. And I have here a few sweet moments from my very special Keelan. The last of my children that I raised. I'm just glad he's in church. No, he's a sweet boy. Had his moments, but Keelan said once, "I am perfect." I said, "You're not perfect. You're Keelan." He said, "I am perfect, Keelan." I've got a few quotes. You must write your quotes down, guys. You forget. I look them up. Honestly, they're so cute. Keelan said, "Dad, when you got married, did you marry in front of a crowd?" "Yes." "Why?" "Well, when you're kids, that's embarrassing. When I get married, I'm going to do it in private, like on a boat or in a helicopter." Keelan, "And when you have kids, do you have to get permission from the government?" I just love that because so many things Keelan had to get commission for. Bless him. He said, "When I get married, what time can I go to bed?" He also said when he gets married, he wants to build a house next to mine. Cute. They're building things happening. He said one night, "Mom, I can't breathe through my nose. It's blocked." I said, "Well, you'll just have to breathe through your mouth tonight." "But then I can't smell." And one time in the car, we're just driving along and he goes, "Are there more light bulbs or octopuses?" Who knows the answer to that? Only God. More light bulbs or octopuses in the world? So we love our children and, as I said, they are hard work sometimes, but there's so many precious, precious moments that they give us and we are so grateful for those precious moments and we love them. And love is paramount because God is love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" 1 John 4:16, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." It's almost unbelievable, the love that God has for us. But we do believe it. We do believe that he loves us so much. David Gutzig says this, "Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is power. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is popularity and bigness. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is passionate feelings. But the greatest evidence of God's presence and work is love. Where God is present and working, there will be love." Praise the Lord. We are called to this highest standard of love. In fact, it's so high that Jesus even called it a new commandment. Because he said, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another." The commandment to love wasn't new, but that level of love, to love like Jesus, we'd never seen such love before. And that's the level that we're called to. We're called to love like Jesus loved. So most mums here, you have an instinctive love. And, you know, obviously when I talk about love, if you're not a mum, this includes you, because we all have to love someone. We're all loving each other. So you're all included, but I am focusing a little on mums today. But we do have an instinctive love, and yet we still need to be trained to love, which is interesting. Titus 2:4 says that older women are to teach the younger women what is good and train them to love their husbands and children. Isn't that interesting? Because we just sort of think, oh, mums, we know how to love. We love our kids and we do love our children. And yet here it says that we need training in love, because love doesn't always come naturally. It's not always easy, and sometimes we misunderstand how to work that love. And so we need training in love. And the Bible speaks a lot about love. 1 Corinthians 13, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have all faith to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing." Nothing. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." Wow. So we can do things that look like love, but it's got to be real and it's got to be in our heart. So I guess as a mum, and I know this, and we all know this, that our love is deficient. Our love isn't always right. We do need that training. And we do sometimes kind of run out. Sometimes our impatience or our sin or our selfishness is louder than our love. And so what I want to encourage us today is to remember that God is love, and that we can go to him for that love. We can always go to him because he is close to us and he is with us. In fact, Christ is in us when we're born again. So we have an amazing place to go to refresh our love. So this morning I want to encourage us, as we love our children, as we love the people around us, to remember we have this incredible source of love, which is God. And his love it's unending, it's incredible, it's amazing, and it's available to us. Look at Romans 5:5. "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. So we don't have to conjure up love. We don't have to sort of make ourselves love. We just have to go to God. When we're born again, he's already in us. And if we're feeling a little clouded in that, we just turn to him again and say, "God, help me to love here. I don't know how to love." I know for myself, I have actually had that experience sometimes. I just feel like, I've got nothing here, God. I don't feel loving. Sometimes you feel so frustrated with the situation, or frustrated with someone, or their particular sin bothers you more than someone else's sin, or more than your own sin. And you just feel like you're more aware of your anger and your irritation than the love. And I've had that. I can remember one time in particular running up the front of my house and out onto the street and go, God, I've got nothing left. I've got no more love. You're going to have to fill me up. You're going to have to give me love. You're going to have to give it to me so that I can minister from love. And then, okay. And then God just fills us with love. He fills us with love. And this is not just for our children or whoever we're looking after, but this is for our husbands and wives. We all know that if we're married, don't we? Sometimes like, I'm not feeling the love right now. Oh, occasionally, darling. I'm not really talking about you, but you know, I know, you know, Frosty and Emily, hypothetically. Byron and Zara, do they ever run out? Never. You told me one time you got annoyed with Byron, I remember. Yes. I remember that. One time Byron was really annoying, just that one time. He played soccer. I remember once he went to soccer and you were cross because you had to come here on your own. And everyone was like, where's Byron? Where's Byron? He's at soccer. Where's Byron? He's at soccer. Where's Byron? And you must have said it 20 times and you came home and said, you will never do that to me again. I remember that. You got annoyed with him. Anyway, I'm sure there are other times. So God fills us up with love. And not only that, but look at Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up or provoke one another to love and good works. So not only does God fill us up with love, but we have each other. And that word there is quite a strong word. It's got a sharp, it says to, it's near and sharp. That's what the word means. Let us consider how to be near and sharp to make someone love. So it's basically like that. It's a prod. It's a provocation to love. So you think again, oh, but you know, I've got God. I'm a Christian. I'm loving it. But yet the Bible says we've got to think about how to prod each other to make sure that we are loving, to make sure that what we're doing is motivated by love. Because we can do, as it says, we can do all kinds of amazing things. We can move a mountain. Like we can have an amazing faith. We can look like an amazing Christian, but if it's not coming out of love, it's got no value. That's a thought, isn't it? Wow. So we need to prod one another to make sure that what is happening is truly love. And, you know, love is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So when we wait on God, it's just so tasty and beautiful to minister that love. But, you know, we can't, it's like, have you ever, you know, back in the day, I remember Mum had these plastic fruits. They don't do that anymore. But they used to just have a bowl of plastic fruit for decoration. A few nods there like, yeah, why? I don't know why. Mum even had a ceramic one. And, you know, every now and again you think, you can tell the difference between real love and fake love. You can tell the difference between real fruit and fake fruit. So we as a church, I love that we're a loving church, but still we provoke one another to be sure that we're more loving and to be sure that we're constantly moving in love. So with that in mind, let's continue in 1 Corinthians 13 to provoke us to love more and to love like God. As I said, not conjuring up this love, but knowing that it's there in us. 1 Corinthians 13 and chapter verse 4. Let's just go through some of these. Love is patient and kind. In each one of these things, when we say love is patient, remember God is love. So we could just as easily say God is patient and kind. And if we're running out of patience for someone else, think about how patient God is with you. Like think about how he's waiting for you to change. Think about how long he's been putting up with your little things. So that helps us to be patient, doesn't it? So we remember his love and we're inspired by it and we are motivated by it. And also we can minister his love. So we can be patient. Love is waiting. It's waiting in the car while someone's get ready. It's waiting for that child when they're putting their shoes on and they seem to be taking forever or they've lost their jumper at school again. It's like, how many jumpers? I think Bethany was telling me one little kid at school was like sobbing, I can't find my jumper. And she thought, yeah, that kid's been in trouble before. They're terrified of going home without the jumper. Love is patient and handles that. And sometimes it's whether it's waiting 10 minutes extra to get in the car or whether it's waiting 10 years until that child is finally got through that little interesting phase there, which they go through. Or, you know, love waits. God takes his time to change us, and love is waiting a long time. And I love the King James, love suffereth long. We've all heard that. The Greek is long thumos, which means having the passion. Before you express that passion, there's a wait. So, you know, you do suffer sometimes. You do have to wait and be patient with joy and with love and acceptance. I've got a little Bethany story here. Just talking about waiting for kids to grow up. Chris, one time Bethany dropped her rubbish outside, and Chris, using sarcasm, which didn't go over well, said, "Would you like me to pick up this paper, Beth?" And she said, "Yes, please, Daddy. And then could you get me something to eat?" And she's like, Chris is like, "Okay, let's just say it straight. Love is patient. Love is kind. We need to hear kind words and actively look for opportunities to do good." Like, you can love someone and just sit on the couch and do nothing, can't you? We've got to make the effort. Maddie told me a lovely story. I said, "Maddie, what's the kindest thing anyone's ever done for you? Can you remember?" And she thought for a moment, and then she shared this about some of the lovely grandparents in our church, her mum, Chris and Rolly Hill. She said, "I remember one time me and Adam went away, and mum and dad did this huge supermarket shop for us. And so when we came home, our fridge was full. When we came home from holidays, how sweet, how beautiful." But you know, that's an effort, isn't it? You got to think about it. You got to think, oh, they'd love that. You got to know what food to get, and then you got to go to the shops, and then you got to the whole thing. Kindness is it's a bit of extra effort, which you might not always feel like doing, because if you don't do it, they're not going to know. They're not going to get annoyed with you. But when you do, that's that extra. Love is kind. It's that extra work that you do. It's that, and with mums and dads, the pickup. The driving, that's one of my main memories of being with teenage kids, which is constantly driving them. And I remember one of the worst drives that we had to do was when Luke got a job at KFC in Gosford. It was just, we were towards the end of the whole driving sort of routine with the sports and everything, and then Luke got this job and we wanted him to have the job, but he couldn't drive there. And it was a night shift. So someone had to go and pick him up at 12 o'clock at night, and it was just like, oh, and if you know Chris Brown, like, after 9 o'clock, he turns into a pumpkin. Like, he's gone. Like, he's seriously, like, forget it. He's gone. So I tried to do it a lot, but he would do it, and it was, and I just remember sometimes you just think, you just wouldn't want to be kind. You know, there's this thing, can you do it? No, I'll do it. No, it's all right, I'll do it. Okay, you're going to do it? Yeah. And it's just like, and we're both desperately trying to be kind, but we want the other person to be kind, you know, like, well, I think, why don't you be kind? Because love is kind. So you be kind. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. It's not like you be kind. It's like, kindness is like, I've got to do the kind pickup. And then you'd get there and it'd be so bad. Luke would come running out, "I'm sorry, I'm on cleanup. I'll just be a bit longer." And you're like, okay. And then he'd run back in and just go, oh, and you're waiting out there. And then he got his license. So praise the Lord. He could drive himself to and from KFC. And then, like all good teenagers, he lost his license. And then we had to do it again for another 3 months or whatever. And I do remember, I will confess, one time I just lost in the car. I just remember going, I mean, seriously, Luke, why couldn't you just, why are you speed? Like, obviously, we're going to start driving. I just remember, not a good mum moment. We've all had those moments, and the words are not, you know, and you finish and you go, that wasn't very nice, was it? I think I apologise, because you just sometimes say words that aren't kind, unkind words, and just, there's no good picking them up and then being horrible, is it? That's not going to work, but we've all done it, I hope. Oh dear, they do test you. So anyway, love is patient and love is kind, and we have to just constantly be kind. And look, this is a slightly sensitive topic, but can I just say, if you're a married couple, to be kind in terms of how many children you have? Because it's quite a common thing for you young mums, like, well, I want two, but he wants three. Or I want three, but he only wants two. And that's the ultimate kindness, is to give someone the desire of their heart, like a child, you know, give them a child. If, and obviously you've got to agree and you've got to work it out. And I know women, we have to bear them and it's a lot of work. But just if you can, that's so precious. Because, you know, Malachi 2:15 says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? And why? What does he want? Godly children from your union. God wants us to have children. He wants us to have a lot. He seeks godly offspring. So we need your children. We need lots of them. I'm telling you, in 30 years' time, there'll only be Muslims and Christians on this earth because we're the ones reproducing. So we need them. Have children. Have as many as you possibly can and be kind to one another to take that stretch. Look, it's hard yakka for 18 years and then it's fine. After that, they leave home. It's not so bad. And then get a couple extra, you know, like keep going. We had that situation where we had three. I think we were pretty happy with three. But I thought, no, I'm not finished. I can have more. And I remember Chris was like, oh, babe, you know, a car fits three. And I thought, I am not deciding how many children I have based on the size of cars. Like cars, seriously. You know, so Chris was one of three. I was one of four. But we were like, And then I remember I prayed about it and we went out to a pastor's conference, actually, and they had us sitting at tables and they said, what about you guys? You going to have another one? And I said, well, you know, I'm kind of want to and Chris is not sure. And then the pastor next to us said, well, I've got four. Four's great, mate. Four's good. And then the guy next to him said, ha, I've got four kids too. The guy next to him, there was about 10 people at the table. I'm not kidding. There was about 10 pastors. It was a great big round table. Every single one of the pastors sitting at that table had four children. And we just thought, four's quite a lot these days. That's unusual. We looked around. There was all the other tables, they didn't have, you know, that. So it was, they all just went, you think God might be speaking to you? So I think Chris was good. He stretched and praise God, we had four. Here she is, my Bethany. So you see, have as many as you can. And I know some of you are quite happy with one or two, and that's fine too. Just whatever you feel full with, but we felt full with four. And then I said, you know what, I always feel like I could have had a couple more. That's what I said. Be careful what you say. I used to say, I thought, I reckon I could have done two more. So we did. We did a couple more. And praise God, we got Keelan and Leroy, bless him. Bethany said once, where was I before I was born? And I said, you were in God's heart. She said, I remember that. She was indeed. Our children are there. So, praise the Lord. Let's be kind. Love is not envy or jealous. It doesn't, obviously you don't feel, who feels jealous of their kids? Maybe an adult mother might. That's sad. And some of you may have issues with your older mothers, but we love them, don't we? We love them all. Love works both ways. But also I think sometimes as a mother, you might be making decisions that mean that people get ahead of you because of the love for your children. And I was talking to Nikki Ashby about this, and she was saying that that as a nurse, you know, and she's, I'm sure, a very excellent nurse, although you have done stuff for me. You have. I remember now, Nikki's a great nurse. I remember once I was playing netball and something happened to my finger and I looked at it and it was at a right angle. It got donged by the ball and I went, oh, whoa, it looked like it had been snapped in half, you know, and I was like, that's not good. I just remember getting sort of like, whoa. And Nikki just walked up to me so patiently and goes, it's dislocated, Ruth. And I go, oh, okay. And I go, can you fix it? And she goes, yeah, do you want me to fix it? I went, yes, please. And she just went, popped it back. Such great nursing. But, you know, she was saying that some of the girls that she started work with, one of the girls in particular, is now her boss because Nikki has chosen for her family it's right for her to work part-time, which means that, you know, she hasn't had the promotions that this girl has had who's worked full-time. So, you know, but you don't, we don't get jealous about that. We don't sort of mind because we love. and Rose. I mean, what can I say? That's what you get. God has a plan for your life, and if that plan involves you being having a position or a promotion in your career that's important, he can organise that with your children and working out the whole balance of life, and he can make sure that you get it right. So we're not jealous about other people's promotions or positions. We just love wherever God calls us to love, and we will win. We will absolutely win. And we certainly don't compete with each other. That's a bit of a thing, isn't it? Mums competing, like all these amazingly advanced children at the age of 2. They're all so advanced. You get that? My child is very, they're very advanced. I'm like, I know, every 2-year-old is advanced. So where is average? Anyway, that's okay. Love is not jealous. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. We don't love our children in order for us to look good. We don't want them to make, we love them freely for them to be all that God wants them to be. I remember one time being I was with a relative of mine, and we were listening to some classical music, and we were listening to Chopin. And Chopin, if you know Chopin, has an amazing piano pieces. And I think this was one was like really fast. It was like, and I'm like, whoa, listen to that guy play the piano, seriously. And this relative of mine just casually said, oh, I used to play that. And I went, wait, what? You played that piece? And he goes, yeah. Played a lot of piano when I was a kid. And I went, whoa. You must have been amazing. He says, yeah, I was very good. And I went, I was just staggered. And I said, I had no idea you played the piano. And I had no idea you played the piano that well. You never play now. And he goes, no, I didn't like it very much. And I said, oh. So this child, and then I asked some more questions. The child was not permitted to play sport, although he would have been really good at it, because he had to practice piano all the time. And being a submissive child, he was good at it, but he hated it. It wasn't for him. It was for his mother. So when he got to 18, he stopped playing the piano, never played it again. So, I mean, we don't do that. Come on, we love our children because it's best for them, and we love them in the way that God shows us to love them. And maybe no one sees how we love our children. Maybe no one sees what we do, but we don't have to boast or be proud about it. Because God sees what you're doing. God sees what you're doing. You know? Someone was saying about husbands, they leave the house and the dining table is clear, and they come home and the dining table is clear, but in the middle they've got the breakfast and the morning tea and the spilt milk and the craft and the tea and the dye, and it's just a mess. And you sometimes feel like saying, do you know how hard I've worked all day to look after your children? But it's like, we don't have to. God sees, he knows, so we don't have to. Love does not parade itself. It's not rude. It's courteous and has good manners and says beautiful, kind words. And that's a good thing for us to practice, isn't it? Not snapping, just holding those words. And we can do it with God. Without God, we can't. Without God, the ugly words come up to here and then go. Pah! But with God, he can shut that mouth of ours. And you feel the ugly. I've had the ugliest words come into my head and they go, nope. It's not coming out. Love does not seek its own. It does not insist on its own rights. It does not demand. It's not selfish in any way. It's not about my turn or your turn. It's just about love. It's just about love. Love is not easily provoked. It's not irritable. Ha ha. This is a good one. So it's graceful under pressure. Love is graceful under pressure. It's not fretful or resentful or angry without cause. Anger is good with cause and in a righteous, controlled way. But uncontrolled anger is not good. And I know as a mother there are many, many opportunities for uncontrolled anger, or in any relationship actually, and you have to find a way to just control it. And I know when I was little with my children, when they really irritated me and I wanted to yell or scream, I used to say this, go to your room. And then I'd say nothing. And I'd say, now, quickly go to your room. And it wasn't because I wanted them in their room. It was because if they didn't go to their room right now, I might say something I regret. So I was like, just go to your room. Okay. I asked Maddie about this, and Maddie said, I turn my back on them. I just go like this, like that. Now, how many times have I told you, and then you do your calm, sensible anger in the right way. But you do need sometimes to just take a moment in the heat of it. It's not like, it's like I prayed this morning, but that was 2 hours ago and I was in the bathroom, locked in the bathroom with the kids banging on the door. So it wasn't like the most wonderful prayer time I've ever had. But you know, in the heat of the moment, you do have to sometimes just take a moment and honestly just focus on God right there. It's like, God, okay. Because if you just look to God, just quickly, just shut your eyes, help, help. Then it comes. Then the love comes. Because love is, it says it's not easily provoked. So we do feel love for our children, but love's got to be there at that moment. And in that instant, it has to be there. And if we haven't got it, in that instant, we just take a moment, go to God, and there's the love. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is forgiving. It doesn't meditate on the bad. It doesn't put the worst construction on the conduct of those around us, but tries to see the best in people. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't downplay sin. It doesn't downplay iniquity. The Bible says love is as strong as death. So part of love is very strong. It's not loving. I do have some friends that had a kind of a tolerant, ignoring approach to sin, to their children's sin. A sort of like, oh, it's fine. Oh, they got, you know, isn't it? Or when they get to 4 or 5 and they start learning the concept of lying, isn't it really like they're lying? I'm like, no, it's not. It's a terrible sin. You've got to deal with it. But sometimes some people sort of feel that love is, it's soft. It's too, their love is not, love without strong discipline is not love, it's neglect. Love without strong discipline is neglect. And of course, discipline without love, well, that's abuse. So we need to know it's okay to feel angry and to be very strong in our love, because love does not put up with sin. It doesn't put up with iniquity. It deals with it because of love. I mean, look at God. You read the Old Testament. Some people don't understand the Old Testament. They go, well, God doesn't seem very loving in the Old Testament. It's like, no, he was very loving, but he also got very angry because love is strong. And we have to learn how to minister that love, especially today. You know, when people, no one's talking about discipline. No one dares. No one wants to talk about how to discipline children. But it's a huge part of love. I know when I was raising, you know, foster children, you're not allowed to smack, which I actually agree with. That's fair enough, although my own children experienced that delightful form of punishment many times, but not with foster kids. And so I would do time out. And I can remember going to one of the case management meetings, and they always ask, what's happening? What are you doing? And I talked about, you know, this, that and the other. Bless his heart. I remember Keelan found out about these meetings. He's about, I don't know, 14 or 15. And he goes, what? Because he got invited. I said, do you want to come? He goes, what to? Oh, there's a case management meeting. You can come now. You're older. What do you do? Well, we all sit around and talk about you. And he goes, what? I said, yeah, you're case manager, me, the director. And he was like, can you not do that, please? I don't want to have those meetings. I'm like, I'm so sorry, mate. It's just the deal. So he's done so well. But anyway, they said, so Keelan had done something. They wanted to know about it. So I told them. They said, what did you do? I said, oh, I just did a timeout, you know. And one particular woman said to me, we don't do timeout anymore. The child might feel rejected. And I went, I always kept my mouth shut. I thought, okay, what do you do? Because, you know, you weren't allowed to do anything else. And they went, time in. Hold the child close, because they were probably naughty because they're just feeling rejected. They need more love. And I was like, okay. So I remember thinking, all right, I can do time in. So I can remember going home. And I remember Paul Keelan did something not, and I go, we are not doing time out anymore. We're going to do time in. So remember you used to stand over there? Now you're standing right here. Right next to me, so you can feel my love, okay? And he was like, okay. And I'm like, you know, time in. That was even funner than time out, because it's like, now you're going to be even closer to me. So, look, I appreciate that our society doesn't believe in discipline. I appreciate that they're trying to not to stop abuse. I get it. But there's a vast difference between abusing a child and disciplining a child, and we all know what that is. And we just have to be wise parents. And Leah's nodding because she's quite a good disciplinarian herself. Anthony has a look on his face. But love, but that's the thing, because if you don't ever have tough love with your children, if you don't ever stand up and say no, especially when they're young, boy, you're going to have some fights when they're older. So we have to learn to fight for what is right. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't play it. It recognises it and deals with it in love, with control, but still strong. But then it says love rejoices in the truth. So love does not, it just loves it when, yes, this is the truth. This is right. This is good. And it's there's a, such a rejoicing in the truth. Rejoices when righteousness prevails. And finally, as we finish off, love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. That's just always believing the best, always praying, always handling what comes. Love just keeps going. Love never gives up. We love our children. We never give up. Some of you have prodigal kids out there. You just keep loving them. Just keep praying and loving them. You never give up on them, because we keep going. Love endures and remains loyal and faithful to the end. Love never fails. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.